Thank you. Welcome to worship this morning.
I have just a little announcement about elections next Sunday. Up for election for elder are Fred Smits and Luke Vandervliet, and for deacon Tristan Miller and Audrey Poppy. We will be voting after the morning service next week, and also there's opportunity to hand in proxy votes. A proxy vote should be placed in a blank envelope, which would be placed into another envelope with a name on it from who it's from. That way it can all be confidential. So that's the announcement I have. We have Richard Portinga leading us in worship today, and I'd like to welcome him.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, congregation. Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. Praise the Lord. Let us do that with the gathering song 585. With grateful heart, my thanks I bring. Greets us saying, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." Amen. Our opening hymn of praise is "Guide Me, O My Great Redeemer." seated. We cannot come before God in a call to confession unless we are first honest with ourselves about who we are, about the mistakes we make, the sins of our ways, and about how well or poorly we care for others, also those in our family. In this spirit, let us offer our prayer of confession to God. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare us who confess our faults. Restore those who are penitent according to your promises declared to the world in Christ Jesus our Lord. Grant, O merciful God, for his sake, that we may live a holy, just, humble life to the glory of your holy name. And all God's people say, assurance of pardon comes to us in these words: if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you so that you may be revered. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. Excuse me. It is he who will redeem Israel from all of its iniquities. Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. At this time, we have the children's moment, and it says here Luke's going to do that for us.
Chef, so your mom feeds you three times a day? us that day. Lord, we pray that you bless the remainder of this day to us, Lord, and everything that we do. We pray all these things to you alone. Amen.
And this is the time for the morning prayers of the people.
Let us go to our Lord, our Savior, in congregational prayer. Our Father in heaven, on this beautiful day of spring and warmth, we praise you. We look at what you have created and are in awe. The bright green lush grass, the vibrant rich yellow dandelions, the many different bright flowers that are so beautifully made, the perfection and colors all so different, only could be created by an all-knowing and indescribable God. Lord, we praise you. And on this special day, when we honor our mothers on Mother's Day, we want to thank you for them. A mother has this unique bond and love for her children that is not unlike the love that you have for us, your children. Lord, be especially close to the mothers today, and may they feel your blessing today. And especially be with those mothers who have lost a child. It is a great grief that will be with them all their lives, until that glorious day when they will be with you and their child again. We pray that you will give them that hope, and we pray that you will always be close to them. Lord, we also pray for those moms who have gone to be with you. Lord, we thank you for the time we had with them and for their commitment to their families. Lord, you provided for your mother even as you hung on the cross so that she would be able to bear her grief. Lord, we also want to pray for members of our congregation who are dealing with difficult things in their lives. Lord, we pray that you will bless Brenda and also be with Joni's friend Linda, and also with my friend Dave. We pray for our seniors. May they experience your blessing as well. Lord, we pray for our relationships, not only in our marriages, but also our relationships with our fellow church members. Help us to live together in gratitude because of what you have done for us, and that you love us and protect us under your wings. Protect this, your church, we pray. Lord, there are many concerns and fears and needs. You know them all, and we know that you are interceding for us, your children, and we praise you for that. All these things we pray in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you for leading us in prayer, brother. You mentioned mothers who have lost a child. You prayed for them. My mother was one such. She ended up having four sons, but in between the first two sons and the last two, she had a daughter. And that daughter died from pneumonia during the Second World War. And I think my mother always hoped that us last two boys would be girls, but we weren't. And I think she indeed missed having a daughter the rest of her life, but it's not like it crippled her completely into being a wonderful mother. But yes, such situations do leave a mark for the rest of one's life. And you know, I have a little bit of a cold, and I was looking for some water here, and I bet your preacher brings his own water. And so if somebody could bring me a big glass full, that might be a good preventative for helping me to get through the message this morning. And let us pray for a blessing upon the reading of the word and the meditation upon it by singing as our prayer for illumination number 762, Ancient Words. So the ancient words that we turn to are from Judges chapter 4. Reading the entire chapter. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord now that Ehud was dead. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in Harosheth Hagoyim because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. Then they cried to the Lord for help. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Certainly I will go with you," said Deborah. "But because of the course that you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zaanaim near Kadesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera summoned from Harosheth Hagoyim to the Kishon River all his men and his 900 chariots fitted with iron. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, meanwhile, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there was an alliance between Jabin and king of Hazor and the family of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid." So he entered her tent, and she covered him with a blanket. "I'm thirsty," he said. "Please give me some water." She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes by and asks, is anyone in there, say no." But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Just then, Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. "Come," she said, "I will show you the man you're looking for." So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with the tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the Israelites, and the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed him. Chapter 5, on that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. When the princes in Israel took the lead, when the people willingly offered themselves, praise the Lord. Hear this, you kings, listen, you rulers. I, even I, will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in song. When the Lord went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook and the heavens poured down, the clouds poured down water. The mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. Thus far, the reading of God's word this morning. May he bless our meditation upon it. Dear people of God, once again, a happy Mother's Day to all of you who are mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers maybe, stepmothers perhaps, mothers-in-law probably, and mothers-to-be, maybe. this thing decided it wanted to detach itself at this inopportune time. There. And happy Mother's Day, too, to all who have been blessed by a mother's love and care. And that pretty well takes care of all of us, doesn't it? God's word comes to all of us today, asking us to look at how a woman, a mother in Israel, was his blessing to her people. And the Spirit asks us to search our hearts, both men and women, both young and old, asking us how in our day we can be or receive such a blessing in his church or in the wider world. Deborah's time, you see, was not really all that different from our day. It was a time when people were forsaking the ways of the Lord, that they had been sliding into unfaithfulness during the 80 good years that had followed the judgeships of Ehud and Shamgar. Abraham Kuyper, in his book Women of the Old Testament, expresses surprise at this swift decline in Israel. But ours, friends, has been even faster. When I recall the little songbook that we carried to assemblies at London Teachers College in the early 1960s, then I remember that half of the 100 songs in that little book were hymns like Holy, 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 or For the Beauty of the Earth. And when I began teaching in SS10 Westminster, the kids led our morning devotions by playing songs on the piano, songs from the officially approved Hymns for Schools. That's where I learned when mothers of Salem their children brought to Jesus, or We Have an Anchor That Holds in the Storms of Life, wonderful songs of the Christian faith that weren't found in the Christian Reformed Church's hymn book, but were officially approved hymns for schools, public schools. Can you imagine any of those Christian songs being sung at the University of Western Ontario's Faculty of Education Assembly today? Would any teacher dare to teach them in any public school classroom anywhere in Canada today? A few years ago, during Ingersoll's vacancy, as pastoral vacancy, I represented the Christian Reformed Church at the meetings of the Ingersoll Ministerial Society. My heart felt a great sense of unity with those brothers and sisters because they shared quite freely their disappointment at the diminishing numbers who came to worship the Lord Jesus on Sunday mornings. Mary Dillon, one of the pastors, showed us the beautiful facility of her Springfield United Church. And sadly, she said that only 20 to 40 people filled the sanctuary on Sunday morning when it could easily hold 200 or 300. The Father Simard of Sacred Heart Roman Catholic Church said he had to cancel nursing home services because lay people, that's ordinary folks like you and me, couldn't be found to help with the music and the singing for the nursing home services. Well, Deborah began as an ordinary folk, a homemaker, a wife, a quiet but supportive husband. Lapidoth was her husband, and according to some rabbis, the word Lapidoth refers to their work as keeper of the tabernacle lamps. So if so, that's a wonderful symbolic task for a humble, godly woman who was to become a great light in Israel. Deborah and her husband lived on the road between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, where flourished olive and palm trees. Under one of the most royal of date palms, Deborah received and counseled people who came to her for advice. She was just that kind of woman, and people in the country roundabout would go and ask for advice from Deborah if they had problems of any kind. Over the years, therefore, she became known far and near for her wisdom and for her zeal for the law of the Lord. As we have said, this zeal had flagged. It had weakened in many people in Israel, just like it has in our nation today. But encouraging exceptions sometimes surface to call us out and to call out our fellow Canadians. One such event was back in 2018. You may remember that in April of that year, there was a terrible bus crash that killed 16 young hockey players from the Humboldt hockey team. Excuse me. Now, that was a terrible event for the town of Humboldt in Saskatchewan, and the ministerial society there organized a prayer vigil, and that was broadcast in its entirety by both CBC and CTV as it was happening, as it was taking place. And almost all the pastors who prayed, including one indigenous pastor, called on the Lord Jesus for comfort and strength. The team chaplain said, "Yes, we need each other. We need the nation's arms around us, but above all, we need Jesus. We need Jesus' arms around us above all." A wonderful event. Sadly, the media commentators never followed up on that crucial message in any of the extensive coverage that they showed later of that event. Not that evening, not the next day, not in any of the weeks that followed. It was all about placing our hockey sticks out on the porch and wearing sports jerseys to show solidarity with the Humboldt team. That was all well and good, but the call to know Jesus and the comfort of his resurrection, that wonderful message of true and lasting hope, was swept away by a flood of well-meaning sentimentality that blinds us to the real hope that grieving people need, the real hope that any hockey team needs to fill its cup. In Deborah's day, the call to live as God's people was being drowned out by accommodation to the ways and the demands of the Canaanites and by fear of their nasty, warlike King Jabin and his general Sisera with his 900 chariots of iron. You know, something like Putin and all his powerful tanks and other armaments. They were scared, those Israelites. Couldn't blame them. Jabin had rebuilt the fortress city of Hazor under Joshua some decades earlier. This city had been destroyed because the first Jabin the first, had led the kings of the north in a rebellion against the Israelite conquest of the land. But Jabin II defiantly rebuilt the city and the Israelites did not stand up against him. So by Deborah's time, Jabin and his army were pretty well able to dictate to the Israelites what taxes they had to pay and what they could do and what they could not do, very much like the Nazi occupation of conquered European countries back in 1939 to 1945, and very much like Putin's war against the Ukraine today. As the years went by, the name and honor of Yahweh or Jehovah and the light of his word were greatly diminished in Israel. But those who lived in the highlands of Ephraim still possessed some degree of organization, of unity and hope in Yahweh. That was due to the courage and the faithfulness that Deborah had inspired in their hearts. You see, over the decades, Deborah served as a mother to the tribes in the hill country, first as a counselor, then as a judge, and finally as a deliverer in a time of war. Her implicit trust in God, her readiness to speak of it and to share her faith, inspired others too to have that same kind of trust. Her husband Lapidoth, a quiet and sensible man, recognized the gifts of wisdom and of leadership that God had given his wife. He supported her by seeing to it that their farm and home ran well while she was busy serving God's people by counseling and judging them under their shady palm tree. It takes a special kind of grace, friends, special kind of understanding between men and women in any age of history to be supportive of each other's talents, especially when those talents are not the usual roles that we're accustomed to. As it was then, so it is now. God, in his sovereign way, equips for service in his church and in his world whomever of his children that he chooses, male or female. Thus, over the years, the people of the hill country came to accept Deborah as a wise advisor and as their judge. And as she heard about the pillaging, the rape, the ruthless ways of Jabin's hordes, her zeal for the righteous ways of living as God's people began to burn in her. And then, therefore, she called the warrior and capable organizer of men, Barak or Barak, whichever pronunciation you wish, Barak from his home in Kadesh. Together they worked out a plan for action against the enemy. And she so inspired Barak that he began to see that the Spirit could animate an army, and that animation brought on by the Spirit was more powerful than weapons or fortifications. She recalled to his mind how Yahweh had destroyed the chariots of Pharaoh in the Red Sea hundreds of years earlier, and that he would prove faithful again if his people called on him anew. Go, she commanded the faint-hearted Barak, and the Lord will deliver Sisera and his chariots and his multitudes into your hand. Barak sensed the spiritual insight that Deborah possessed, and feeling the urgent need for her present and spiritual counsel, he answered, "If you will go with me, then I will go, but if you will not, then I will not." That's one of the most unusual passages in the Bible spoken by a man to a woman. It demonstrates a general's great confidence in a woman, a homemaker, an advisor. She had risen, you see, to a high place among God's people, largely because of one outstanding quality, her abiding faith in God and her willingness to serve his people with the gifts that God had given her. So when the time came for action, Deborah arose and went with Barak, believing firmly that they were armed with strength from God. When Barak summoned his tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, it was clear that they were not well armed. Certainly, none of them rode chariots. But Deborah's faith carried these tribesmen forth unafraid. When they came to the outcropping of the hills and saw Sisera and his hosts spread out on the plain below, Deborah shouted, "Up! For this is the day that the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" We learn from the Jewish historian Josephus and from chapter 5, the Song of Deborah, which we began to read, that a storm of sleet and rain burst out over the plain, driving right into the faces of Sisera and his men, driving those 900 chariots. Imagine trying to maneuver horses and chariots into a battle right into snow pellets and icy rain. The slingers and the bowmen were blinded by the downpour, and they were numbed by the cold. With the storm at their backs, however, Barak's forces were not crippled by it, but rather, as they saw it lashing the enemy, they pushed on, believing all the more in the providential aid of Jehovah. With floodwaters overflowing the banks of the Kishon River, the heavy iron chariot sank deep into the mud, immobilizing them, and many enemies died in their desperate attempt to escape. And one of those was Sisera, who ran for his life through the blinding rain to the tent of Heber the Kenite. These people were sort of like the Swiss during the Second World War, non-combatants. But Jael's heart was with God's people, and she used this opportunity to strike a blow against the cruelty, against the oppression and the degradation that she had witnessed. Just like many courageous Dutch, Belgian, and French women during the Nazi occupation, Jael answered the higher call to love the weak and the oppressed. So she did not shrink back from the gruesome and unthinkable delivery of death with a tent peg. Some commentators criticize Jael for this deed and say that she should have acted like David did when he twice had the opportunity to kill King Saul, who was out to destroy him. But the difference here is obvious, friends. Sisera was not the Lord's anointed like Saul. He was a brutal monster like Hitler's SS or Putin's Wagner mercenaries. Jael, in today's Israeli testimony, was a righteous Gentile. But in summary, what does all of this say for men and women, for mothers, for young ladies and young men today? For us. First and foremost, it says that God Almighty is not bound by the traditions and the shortcomings of his people to accomplish his deliverance. When we, as individuals and as his church, call upon him in our difficulties and distress, he hears and acts. He will use the gifts of men like Barak and women like Deborah and Jael to accomplish his purposes. Let us acknowledge and accept that in this day and age, when the church is sorely tested and weak, that God has again gifted our wives, our mothers, our daughters, along with various barracks, with numerous gifts and talents that should not be reserved just for homemaking or for personal pleasure. As great a calling as homemaking is, truly, it is a great calling, and more women today should see that as one of the greatest ways to be a blessing to their families, even beyond that of a magnificent career. To celebrate their amazing victory, Deborah, like Miriam at the Red Sea, composed a martial song. It began, "Praise you, the Lord, for the avenging of Israel." You'll notice she took no credit for herself because she knew that only God could cause the earth to tremble or the heavens to drop torrents of water and sleet. Her courageous voice sounds forth like a trumpet of freedom. Her people are no longer enslaved. With her they can declare, "So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. But let them that love you be as the sun when it goes forth in its might." Such fire of the Spirit, such love for God and his people never dies out completely. Likely Jesus was thinking of such devotion, such light and love when he said, You are the light of the world. Let not your light be hidden under a bushel, young Jaels, young Barracks, motherly Deborahs, supporting Labadoths, and singles like Paul. Let not your light, your talent, be hidden. The light that we should not hide is that there's a Savior even greater than Deborah. He won the victory over death, over sin, and over all the evil jabbins of history, past and present. He has ascended to the right hand of the Father to reign over all things in heaven and on earth. And we need to call upon this Savior, Jesus, to go with us in all the joys and all the challenges of every day. We must not. We cannot be quiet about this Savior. Must speak about who he is and what a blessing his way is for each person and for our nation. When we neglect to do that, like Israel in Deborah's time, or our Canadian society in the past 6 decades or so, we will become enslaved to powerful forces of wrong, such as drugs, secularism, atheism, to name a few. Those kind of evil forces who are always on the prowl to destroy that which is good and beautiful and praiseworthy, the blessings of God in our lives. Barak had it right. Without Jesus' Spirit of God, we should not go up and do anything. But with Jesus' Spirit of God, we can do nothing but stand up for Jesus and be victorious. Amen. These are the days of Elijah. Let's sing of it. Seated. At this time, you have the opportunity to give your gifts of loving thanksgiving for the Lord's work among you and the Lord's work in the world. What's that? This part.
Today's offering is for Right to Life Refuge, a pregnancy resource center dedicated to giving women any additional support they need when going through pregnancy. They offer counseling, parenting preparation courses, postpartum care, and baby supplies. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for Right to Life Refuge and the work they do. Bringing a child into the world and then raising them is a hard, hard job. And we thank Right to Life for the support they provide in making that job a little easier. We pray that you bless our offering to them. Amen. Amen.
when we think of Deborah and Barak and Jael and how God uses their gifts or used their gifts to be a blessing to his people and an honor to his name, then I think about the only thing we can do is sing, "Here I Am, Lord," number 869. It's appropriate to thank the pianist for leading us in worship this morning, and also for Joni, who selected most of the songs that we sang, and they're so appropriately suitable to the message that was brought. So thank you, ladies, for using your talents and your gifts to bless us this morning. And now let us lift up our hearts for the benediction, after which we will sing as the doxology, 275, There's No God as Great. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and freed us from our sins by His blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And all God's people say, Amen.